Okay, good. Let's turn in the Bible then to Numbers 28. All right, well, bear with me because we have a lot of text to go through. So the Israelites are preparing to cross into the Promised Land, and before too long, the tribes are going to disperse from being a single unit, a single congregation, sort of moving through the lands as a unit centered around the tabernacle. Pretty soon, they're going to be settled down in the land in their various allotments. And one of the things that the Lord ordained for his people in order to keep them unified and also keep them distinct from the other nations is what you might call their sacred calendar, which is kind of what we have here in 28, 29, this arrangement of specific days, months, special occasions, and the rites and the offerings that go with each thing. There's a rhythm of life that God is going to now establish for the people to live by, which is going to keep Israel's relationship with God and his relationship with them regularly in their minds, okay? Which, that's something necessary, don't you think? You know, what happens to an individual or what happens to a people if you don't intentionally keep God regularly in mind? Okay, you very quickly can slip away. I think we all know to our own embarrassment how naturally and quickly we sort of descend into sin if we're not intentional about maintaining our focus on God and our Savior, okay? So back in when we were studying Leviticus, back in Leviticus 23, God had delivered to Israel this sequence of feasts, so-called. Here in Numbers 28 and 29, we're going to touch on most of those again, but this is not a repeat of that. Okay, the actual purpose here is to enumerate all of the offerings that are to be offered throughout the year, throughout the calendar. Okay, so the Lord, if you like, goes through the calendar, but not this time to specify the purpose for each holy day. You know, if you want to know why there's the Passover, well, you know, we've had that before in Exodus and Leviticus. Okay, this is to spell out the offerings that he enjoins Israel to bring to the altar, okay, the appointed ones. There's other kinds of offerings, you know, thank offerings, peace offerings. Those are voluntary, and they're kind of, you know, as people desire to bring them. There's other ones that are certain penalties for violating the law or whatever, okay. Those are extra besides these. So what we're going to do is begin with, like, the baseline. There's the baseline sort of daily offering, followed by the weekly offering, and on the Sabbath day, and then a monthly offering on the first day of each month. And then there are several annual holy days throughout the calendar in the first, third, and seventh months. Okay, so let's try to get through this. Now, chapter 28 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, okay, mine, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time.'" Okay, which reminds us that, as we frequently say, all of our offerings are God's offerings. Okay, they're due to him. Everything we have already comes from him. And since he's the one who delivered us and he's the one who sustains us, we're in debt to him. We're in debt. Okay, and God is the single most important fact of our life. And it's important that we take measures to remind ourselves of that, both on a routine basis and on the basis of special occasions. Okay, so we start with what's routine. Verse 3, "You shall say to them, this is the daily offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs in their first year, without blemish each day," right? Day by day is a regular burnt offering. "The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other in the evening, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour," that's about 8 cups of flour, "as a grain offering, mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil," so that's about a quart or a liter. "That is a regular burnt offering, which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord." So this daily, there's contact between man and God, right? This is an act of worship. "And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin of wine for each lamb." in a holy place, you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering, either on right on the animal on the altar or maybe at the base of the altar. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering and its drink offering. You shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. So morning and evening, daily worship of the Lord twice a day, the God of Israel. Right? So now weekly, verse 9, on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year, two more lambs, that is, without blemish, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil with its drink offering, another 1/4 of a hin of wine for each one. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath. Look, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. So, you know, this is two extra, right? There's already two for the day, but this is two more because it's the Sabbath, and presumably one in the morning and one in the evening, although it does not say that. So, by the way, what is a week? There's no natural significance to a seven-day period. You know, a month is a cycle of the moon, and a year is a cycle of going around the sun. Well, what's a week? It's nothing. There's no natural significance. The only significance of a week is creation. Right? God made the week. 6 days of creation, the seventh day he rested. And that's the only reason why weeks exist. You're so used to it. You know, I'll see you in a week, okay? There's no astronomical significance to a week. There's no natural phenomenon that lasts 7 days. God ordained the week into the rhythm of mankind's life ever since the beginning. Okay? So anyway, on the Sabbath, a second set of two lambs with their accompanying food and drink offerings. Okay, verse 11 is next to the first day of each month. Okay, and remember that the Hebrews used a lunar calendar. So every time it was the new moon, that's a new month. Okay, so the first day of the month always has that, you know, brand new moon, that tiny fingernail moon. Okay, and therefore the 15th of the month, the 14th, 15th is always the full moon. Okay, verse 11, at the beginning of your months you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, and this is quite a bit. Two young bulls, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil for each of the bulls. 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil for the one ram. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb, each of seven, as a burnt offering of a sweet aroma, offering made by fire to the Lord. The drink offering shall be 1/2 hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 for a ram, and 1/4 for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year, and also 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered besides. This is besides the regular daily burnt offering, okay, the one in the morning, one in the evening. That happens first, and then you have this. All right, so now we have several annual observances. Verse 16, about the Passover. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and on the 15th day of the month is the feast, right, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year, same as on the first day of the month. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, same thing, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 2/10 for a ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Verse 22, also 1 goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning, which is a regular burnt offering. And in this manner, you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days. Okay, so the 2, 1, and 7 thing, you do every day for 7 days for the Passover. Okay, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And that's besides the regular burnt offering and its drinking. So if you do it for 7 days in a row, then one of those days is a Sabbath, you know, so you're doing that thing too. Okay, and on the 7th day, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work. Right, verse 26. This is now on the 50th day after the Passover, the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your Feast of Weeks. So 50 days later, now we're in the 3rd month. You shall have a holy convocation and do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year, with their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, right? 2/10 for 1 ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, and also 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. You shall present them with their drink offerings, besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering. Okay, chapter 29. This is what they now call Rosh Hashanah, right, which means the head of the year, the first day of the year.
Every individual has
to be... Oh, no, the priests, just the priesthood, to represent the whole nation. Oh, no goodness, no, you'd be in the poorhouse. Yeah. All right, chapter 29. So here's the next celebration. So in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, okay, so this is besides the regular thing that you do on the first day of every month. So you do that, plus you have this because it's the 7th month. You shall have a holy convocation and do no customary work. For you it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. For some reason, 1 young bull, not 2, 1, 1 ram and 7 lambs in their first year without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil. There's 3/10 for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, and also a kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Okay, see this verse 6. This is besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon. And it's besides the regular daily burnt offering with its grain offering and all their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma, right? It's a burnt offering, a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Okay, next verse 7 is the Day of Atonement. That's the 10th day of the 7th month. You shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. Okay, you're supposed to fast on that day. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil. Anybody tell me by heart what this is going to be? 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, and also 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the sin offering for atonement, which is a whole other set of animals that you read about in Leviticus 16. He doesn't even cover those, but if you want to read all the Day of Atonement stuff, the high priest offers one for himself, he offers one for the people. Okay, and that's also besides the regular daily burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offerings. Okay, and then finally, for the Feast of Tabernacles, this very peculiar sequence, this is maybe one of the oddest things in the Bible. On the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall keep a feast to the Lord for 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. 13 young bulls, all right, so just file that away right now. 13 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year, without blemish, and their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs, okay, which amounts to 28.5 gallons of flour. I mean, think of, you know, how like what a 5-gallon bucket looks like, so like 5.5 5-gallon buckets of flour, it's a lot. 2¾ of a gallon of oil and about 3 gallons of wine. That's just for those animals, let alone the other ones for the other reasons. Okay, also, 1 kid of the goats is a sin offering, besides the regular daily burnt offering and its grain offering and drink offerings. Now, instead of reading the rest, I just want you to look, I want your eyes to jump down to verse 17. Okay, on the 2nd day, verse 20 says on the 3rd day, verse 23 says on the 4th day, 26 says on the 5th day, 29 says on the 6th day, and then 32 on the 7th day. It's all the same, and the only distinction is in the number of bulls, which decreases by 1 each day until you get to 7. Otherwise, it's all the same. Okay, so verse 17, on the 2nd day, you present 12. Yesterday was 13. So 12 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs. Everything else is the same. Right, with their grain offering, their drink offerings, and by their number, according to the ordinance, and a kid of the goats is a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and drink offering. So verse 20, on the 3rd day, present 11 and 2 and 14. And verse 23, present 10 and 2 and 14. Verse 26, on the fifth day, present 9 and 2 and 14. And then verse 29, on the sixth day, present 8 and 2 and 14. And then finally, verse 32, on the seventh day, present 7 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year without blemish. Okay, so on the seventh day, 7 of them is some kind of perfection. You know, with the Lord, it's always 7 something. No explanation. There's no explanation for this in the Bible anywhere, as far as I can tell. Now, the total number of bulls over the 70 days, over the 7 days, is 70. Okay, 70 bulls. So, you know, I would spread them out evenly, right? Here's what I would do, right? Or, you know, since the last day of the feast is, remember, it says the last and greatest day of the feast, why don't you count up to 7? You know, it seems like you're counting down from 13 to 7, and go figure. I'm sorry to say I don't know the reason for this. I can't find out a reason. It's in the mind of God. He knows. So there you go. That's what you do. You get down to 7 on the seventh day. So let's sort of finish it up here. Verse 35, on the eighth day, you shall have a sacred assembly and do no customary work and present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and drink offerings for the bull, the ram, and the lambs by their number according to the ordinance. And don't forget your 1 goat is a sin offering besides the regular daily offering and its grain offering and its drink. You know, don't forget, one of those days is a Sabbath too, so you're doing the extra thing. Okay, so here's the summary. Verse 39, these you shall present to the Lord at your appointed feasts. And this is besides your vows. We'll talk about vows next time. Besides your vowed offerings and your freewill offerings, as present these as your burnt offerings and your grain offerings and drink offerings and peace offerings. So Moses told the children of Israel everything as the Lord commanded Moses. All right, so I did not check the math, but I'm tempted to. One of the commentators totaled all this stuff up and said that in the course of a lunar year, this comes out to 1,071 lambs, 113 bulls, 27 rams, and 30 goats, plus 112 bushels of flour. Okay, so that's 208 5-gallon buckets, whatever that is, 1,000 and some gallons of flour, about 370 gallons of oil, and about 340 gallons of wine, which is a lot. You know, that's not crushing, though, for a nation of 2 million people. It's not the total amount, I think, that's important. It's the idea of this combination of sort of the daily baseline, and then on top of that, you have superimposed another layer weekly, and then a layer, another layer on top of that monthly, and then you sort of have these special occasions kind of sprinkled over the year. Gifts to the Lord, right? There's sort of the daily gift to the Lord, and then there's these special occasions. And that is all those lambs and wheat and things like that, that's a portion of Israel's wealth offered up, but spread out across the whole year, punctuated by these sort of significant days. And like I said, it's the rhythms of a holy life, you know, rhythms of life for a holy people. Okay, so first of all, the daily rhythm, and let's go right to the application. Do we not depend on the Lord for life and breath and guidance and care and so on? Every single day. So isn't it appropriate for every single day to begin with some kind of contact with God, with thanksgiving and prayer and worship and praise? And a burnt offering is a consecration of the self, right? A whole burnt offering. Consecrate yourself to the Lord for the day. You know, give him thanks for watching over you overnight. You know, giving thanks for his protection and anticipating the day's tasks ahead. You know, you meet with the Lord. Of course, in the prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread, which if that's in the prayer, that presupposes that you pray that prayer every day, right? Do you pray every day? Give us this day our daily. So what if the Lord only fed you on the days that you prayed? You would probably pray every day. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. So every day we should make contact with the Lord. Okay, well, you need to eat every day, don't you? You don't eat for a month and then sort of go on the store of it. You know, you don't store it up in your belly for a month and then go without. okay, which means God supplies for you every day. And then at the end of each day, whether it's a Sabbath or not, or whether it's a holiday or not, it's also appropriate to thank God, to make contact with him, thank him for his help and presence during the day-to-day, and sort of place your soul into his care for the night. Okay, so every day is holy, right? Every day is holy. Every day belongs to the Lord. So morning and evening, let your offering ascend to God in holiness. Okay, and what is the offering God desires? Well, you know what the scripture says about we should offer him our bodies as living sacrifices. Okay, we don't offer animals, of course. The song says, I give myself to thee. Right? O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. Okay, all my days and all my hours. Okay, and of course, these spotless lambs prefigure the sacrifice of Jesus, right? The Lamb of God. But his is not a daily, right? His is a once-for-all sacrifice, but the efficacy of it applies every day. Okay, Jesus doesn't need to be offered again and again. You know, these other sacrifices in the Old Covenant sort of prefigured him, and now they're laid aside. However, every morning and every day, it's fitting to acknowledge that we need the benefits of his redemption every single day, right? We sin every day. We need God's pardon. We need God's mercy through Jesus Christ every day because we're constantly receiving the benefits of our atonement. Okay, so we should continually, as the Bible says, continually praise God and glorify him and surrender ourselves to him each day. And that's not just from an individual. I would say it's appropriate from a people who rejoice in their salvation and commune with God and appeal to him for his power and blessing, right? Every day is holy, and every day contains gifts from God, so every day should contain gifts to God. And I want you to notice something which I never thought of before, but one of the commentators pointed this out, that things like grain, oil, and wine, these accompanying offerings, they're all produce of man's labor. You know, God invented grapes and God invented wheat, and of course God makes those things grow, but flour is the result of work. You know, the sower and the reaper and the harvester and the thresher and the miller, you know, that's all, you know, labor goes into that. And same with olive oil. You know, it's not just an olive tree. You have to pick them, you have to press them, you have to, you know, purify the oil. And the same with the wine. You know, you've got to do all this work to cultivate the grapes and press the wine and so on. So the things that we expend, you know, we give God gifts of our labor. You know, things that we, you know, these offerings that you brought to God, well, money doesn't grow on trees, does it? You worked, right? You spent time. You could have used this for your own nourishment, for your own benefit. But we choose, you know, same way with all of these grain offerings and the animals too. They're all the produce of Israel's labor, which could have gone for their own consumption, but they are directed to give a portion of that to God. Okay, so our good works should happen each day, right? And that's a sacrifice that we make. Okay, Hebrews says, "Don't forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." You know, I might complain, why do I have to give away my time, my things, my money that I worked for? You know, those things should go to me. I worked for them. But the ability to work for them comes from God. And so I offer those things. You know, God appointed that I should offer him a portion of them. Okay, and that maintains our relationship in a way. Okay, and of course, once a week we have our Lord's Day, which is not the same as the Sabbath. It's actually the Lord's Day as a recognition that the Sabbath has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. But the point remains, I think, that we're enjoined to have this regular rhythm of holy life. You know, the New Testament shows us how the Christians came together on the first day of the week, right? And that becomes their rhythm of a holy life. And what does it do? It keeps them unified. It keeps them distinct from everybody else, all the pagans all around. And it maintains their connection to God. It's a special day, right? And they hear the word, you know, they share the food, they unite in singing to God and teaching one another. Okay, in some sense, it's a day like any other day. You've got to eat, right? You need your health, and God gives you something to eat and so on. Okay, but on top of those common blessings, we especially acknowledge Jesus, right? Particularly because Sunday's Resurrection Day, and we benefit, don't we, from an intensified focus on the Word of God, the Gospel, you know, maybe more so than another day during the week. Okay, plus we're together with the body of Christ on that day. Okay, and like I said, we drift away if we don't keep to that rhythm. You know, we don't regularly maintain that rhythm. And now monthly, well, we don't follow the phases of the moon for anything. There's nothing enjoined in the New Testament for Christians to do monthly. It just so happens that at First Baptist we have communion monthly. That's not ordained. You know, it's not, that pattern is not laid down in the Bible. It's just what we choose to do, and some churches do it more and some less. But again, that's kind of like an extra special layer of worshiping the Father and acknowledging the Son. Okay, his broken body and his shed blood, right? Take, eat, take, drink. This is for you. And that's like Sundays are special, but then there are special Sundays on top of the regular Sundays, you know? And God shines the rain, and shines the sun, and he rains the rain on everybody. And there's daily goodness for everybody. But through the cross, you know, we receive these immense blessings, our adoption, reconciliation, and sanctification, okay? Like I said, Sundays are already special. Then you have these special Sundays where Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, okay? And I don't know who designed that we take a special offering on that day. You know, some pastor long ago, or if that's Baptist practice, or I don't know what, but on that special day, we take a special offering, our deacon's offering. Okay, so it's just like, that's our rhythm of life. You know, you have your daily, your weekly, your once a month, and of course, we have our annual things too. Okay, of course, we don't keep all of the Jewish holidays, but you should read your Bible, and you should know what they were for and what they represented, what they signified, how they looked ahead to Christ. Our Passover is fulfilled. You know, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. And, you know, Paul says, let's keep the feast with the unleavened bread of truth and sincerity. You know, our Pentecost is fulfilled. The Comforter has come, right? The harvest has begun. You know, souls are being won. Our Day of Atonement is fulfilled, right? And so maybe the only one that's not yet fulfilled is the Feast of Tabernacles. That remains to be fulfilled. But, you know, all of these days, months, and so on point to the Lord Jesus, right? He's the substance. And these other things from the Old Testament are foretelling of Christ. They suggest Christ. Okay, and now, you know, we don't have this as a matter of imposed law. So the New Testament says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So there's freedom for things like Christmas. You know, is Christmas in the Bible? No. Not as a holiday. Certainly not as something that is imposed upon us. But isn't that a special occasion to celebrate the incarnation of the Son of God? Right, that's something to celebrate, something to commemorate. And that brings, like I said, serves that purpose of bringing believers together to thank God for his wonderful gift. And, of course, you sing a lot of great music and a lot of songs to praise God with and something to preach the gospel with. And, of course, Easter. Is Easter commanded? No. But I will tell you, it sure is beneficial to observe, you know, as part of that rhythm of Christian life, to have that special celebration of that great triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus is special to us every single day. Every day calls for a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, but it would be bland if every day were the same. You know, we have 365 days of identical Christian worship, you know, as if there had never been any special events, you know, there had never been any landmark events in God's dealing with us. You know, we don't want it to degenerate into just religious going through the motions. That's what happened with Israel. And at one point, God said to them, I hate your new moons, right? I hate your sacred assemblies because you've forgotten to do righteousness and mercy and things like that, which are much more important. But I think if you don't leave out the latter, you can do the former, right? Do it well and do it in the Holy Spirit. These special times serve to bind believers together and remind us of great things that the Lord has done, and reminds us that we're his people, okay? The psalm says, Psalm 126, I think, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad, aren't we? Like, we're glad. So don't forsake the times, the routine times or the special times. Otherwise, you might slip away. It's very, very easy to slip away. Okay, so Hebrews says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give honor to the name of Jesus, and let us never forget to do good and to share, both routinely and on special occasions, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Okay, Father, thank you as always for your presence in our life. Lord, you are the constant, the unchanging one. You are always there, Lord, whether we feel your presence or not. We know your word that says that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And so we bless your name, Lord God, that you have promised always to watch over and keep us. And yet we do enjoy being together on the Lord's Day, of course, and the special things that we experience on that day and the things that we receive from you. And other times of the year that are also special, Lord. Thank you for just the way of life that you've led us into. Thank you for the Christian fellowship, for the people around us, our brothers and sisters. And once again, Father, I say that we love each other and we love you and are so grateful, dear God, that that you have such a good design for our lives. And of course, we look forward to that great day of fulfillment when the Lord Jesus will come and win the victory once and for all. And as the scripture says, from Sabbath to Sabbath and from new moon to new moon, all flesh will come and worship at your feet. So we look forward to that, dear Father, and bless your holy name. In Christ we pray. Amen.